Let's go.
I'm in an echoey room in Carefree, Arizona at the moment, speaking on a non-microphone, so I'm very sorry for the sound quality. Today I'm joined by Scott Moss.
Hey, AJ, you know, we need a siren or something for the emergency podcast at the start as a sound effect or something.
Our tweet will have many sirens on it, I guarantee you that. the Yankees trade for James Paxton. What do you think?
I'm super excited. Of course, remember all too well being super excited about the Sonny Gray trade a couple of years ago. So there's a dose of you never know with giving up the farm for any one player, especially a pitcher. But hey, I mean, I'm really excited. You?
I am too. I think this is a good – I wrote on Twitter a tweet I'm happy about to characterize it. It's a solid trade no matter what. It's a very good to excellent trade if the Yankees have a plan for James Paxton. And that's kind of what I'm holding out hope for, that they have something that they know that they could use to make him more consistent, make him healthier, maybe even make him better. And he has the stuff and the ability to be one of the best pitchers in the American League. He also could be a mid-threes ERA kind of guy who is a perfectly effective number two starter for the Yankees. And Justus Sheffield is a great prospect. I think a little bit of an overrated prospect. I don't think I would have ranked him number one if I were ranking prospects for the Yankees. Because he has control issues. He is a pitcher. He's got great stuff and maybe could be like a real ace, but also has a very, very high possibility of flaming out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm extremely high in this trade for a couple reasons. First of all, if you're comparing it to market prices, okay, they traded a year and a half of Andrew Miller 2 years ago. So a reliever, really good reliever, but a reliever. For 2 years of Andrew Miller, they got Clint Frazier and Justus Sheffield. They traded less than that package for 2 years of Paxton, who's more valuable now than Andrew Miller was back then. Paxton is, like you said, a number two starter who could be a number one. And they gave up basically one great prospect for him instead of, you know, two great prospects that they got for Miller. And really, Frazier is better than Sheffield as a prospect. So that's just, you know, good trading right there. I'd say also, aren't you more excited about having Happ than you would be about aren't you more excited about Paxton than you would be about Corbin and Happ? Isn't Paxton better than those guys?
That's a good question. All right, so let's take them one at a time. Is he better than J Happ? Yeah, definitely 100% better than J Happ. J Happ has been a little more consistent over the years. He's probably a little bit less of a health risk, but at his age, clearly you want the younger guy, you want the guy with better stuff, etc. I don't think he's better than Patrick Corbin. I'm also not convinced that that Patrick Corbin isn't also still coming. But I'd rather have him on my roster than Corbin only because he's paid less. And that means you have a better chance of getting somebody like Manny Machado. But Corbin pitched 200 innings last year and was better than Paxton.
True, but I guess with Corbin, I'm just not sure I believe it because Corbin's only had 1 year last year of having a really good strikeout rate. He's never had 9 strikeouts per 9 before last year. So he really turned a corner last year with his control a little bit too. But Corbin just had such ups and downs. So yes, I guess Corbin in one sense might have a higher ceiling in that he's more likely to pitch 200 innings because, you know, last year 200, year before that 189, year before that 155. But he hasn't had a long track record of being really, really good. I mean, his last three ERAs is 5.15, 4.03, 3.15. Hey, that's moving in the right direction, but so it's less than super clear. Corbin's one of those guys where he just developed a wipeout slider, so he and Ulys Chacin became great out of nowhere, and maybe I'm just too skeptical of a guy who at age 28, you know, finds a new pitch. So I'll be super excited to get him, but one reason I'm ecstatic about the Paxton trade is I think he's better than, or at least as good as Corbin, but, you know, I think they'll still get Corbin if they can, and if not, they'll get Happ, and that'll be a better pair than what I thought they'd get, which is Corbin plus Happ.
Hey, I don't think Paxton's a bad trade by any means, but I mean, let's just read out his ERAs over the last couple of years. In fact, I'll read out his ERAs and innings pitched. 2015, 67 innings, 3.9 ERA. 2016, 121 innings, 3.79 ERA. Really good in 2017, 136 innings, 2.98 ERA. And then last year, 160 innings, 3.76 ERA. Now, I'll be the first to point out that he has put up field independent pitching numbers far below that. And, you know, he might just be getting bad luck. He might just be in a bad situation in Seattle. And you could see that – you could see James Paxton really pitching like an ace. But he hasn't really blown people away the way that Paxton did for 1 year, granted. In a vacuum, if you told me, you know, the contracts are the same, which do I take? I think I take Corbin at this point. I also think that Paxton, I mean, is, you know, I think a pretty good bet to be a solid, you know, mid-rotation starter. I'm not sure how good of a bet he is to be an actual ace or even, like, number two starter. His stats look a lot like CeCe Sabathia over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know if he's – I think he's better than that. If, you know, you go beyond the raw ERA and look at, you know, his FIP over the last – 3 years is under three if you aggregate it. His xFIP is in the very low threes. And forget that stuff, just actual performance. You know, his WAR by Fangraphs, he's at about 12 WAR over the last 3 years. That's with an average of 24 starts. So what you get with Paxton is a guy who, it's funny because on the one hand, yes, his rep is that he hasn't reached his potential because there's this sense that he could be Chris Sale. And maybe that's unfair because maybe it's kind of like a Steven Strasburg will forever be a disappointment for not being A, Max Scherzer right now, or B, being as good as he was for that couple months as a rookie. You know, if Paxton goes through his career with the next couple years with the Yankees of a low threes ERA, but so good that he's racking up basically four WAR in two-thirds of a season, I mean, heck, that's really good. It does put a premium, though, I'd say, on having the sixth and seventh starter, the guys who can sub in when and if he goes down. But his injuries have also been weird. They've mostly been strained
hit
muscles.
By a comebacker,
no
elbow. I think, or...
Yeah, he
hit by a comebacker this year too, so...
Yeah, comebacker in 16 and 18, but those just cost him 2 weeks. In each of 14, I looked at 14, 15, not 16, but then 17. So yeah, in four of the last 5 years, he had a strain of some kind. I think this man is in more dire need of yoga than anybody I've ever heard of in my life. And now, I'm assuming the Mariners have tried things like tell him to stretch or whatever, but yeah, this strikes me as a guy where if the injuries aren't his elbow gives out every couple months because he throws hard, you know, maybe this is more fixable than a lot of random injury problems. Like, it's not like Nady Evaldi where his elbow is given up three times or something.
Yeah, and he hasn't had any real serious arm issues over the last year or so, which I think is good news. And also, I'd say that the Mariners aren't a dumb team, but they're also not necessarily a smart team. And so it's possible that the Yankees could, you know, go all Charlie Morton on him and James Paxton could be, I mean, really an ace. And that's what I mean by I think it's a really great trade if they have a plan, and it's a good trade if they don't. He's clearly improves the Yankees. The Yankees didn't have a fourth or fifth starter. In practice, it would have probably been just a Sheffield who, you know, we could have, you know, more or less faith in. It might have been somebody like Lance Lynn, somebody who they just kind of bring in to fill the innings. And now, you know, they get to go to James Paxton twice in a five-game series, which I think is definitely good. I want to ask you real quick. So if you're the Yankees right now, you can prioritize either bringing in a fifth – no, the Yankees have four starting pitchers. You can bring in a fifth starter, so somebody like, we'll say, Lance Lynn or, you know, a good serviceable player but not anybody good. But if you bring in a fifth starter, you have a better chance of bringing in a Manny Machado or someone, you know, a real high-end position player. Or you can focus your chips on bringing in a high-end starter like Patrick Corbin, and you end up with one of the lesser infielders we talked about yesterday. Which of those paths do you think the Yankees should go on?
Interesting question. I mean, are you counting J.A. Happ as not quite as high-end as Corbin? Because
yes.
The predictions aren't for him. Yeah. Maybe I'm just a low man on Corbin.
Okay, I'm going to say this. You don't get J.A. Happ. You get Patrick Corbin and Astrubal Cabrera, or you get someone like Manny Machado or someone along that lines, and Lance Lynn. Manny Machado is too obvious. You get whatever. Paul Goldschmidt and Lance Lynn. Something like that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's a tough one, but I think I'd go with the cheaper starter. Maybe I'm the low man on Corbin, but I think they need two more starters. So I think they need another starter who's good, like Corbin or Happ. But then they also need someone like Lance Lynn to maybe be bullpen / six starter, so he'll get 16 starts for the year or something. So I guess maybe I'm turning myself around and saying they need another starter, but then they also need, and especially in the absence of Sheffield as a potential, they need a sixth starter who's not going to be elite, but someone you can let marinate in the bullpen like a Lance Lynn until he's needed in the rotation.
Or you go just go six-man rotation. I mean, I think that's actually not a bad idea given the makeup of the Yankees rotation at the moment. I think you go Yusai Kikuchi, and then you put Tanaka and Kikuchi on that six-man rotation, and everything's looking good.
Yeah, you know, you also wonder whether if you get a guy like Lynn, who it's funny, when we talked about him in the playoffs, I hadn't realized how much he's death to righties. He's a mediocre pitcher otherwise, but that's to say maybe he's not a starter, maybe he's more a reliever. You wonder with the Yankees bullpen, if they have a pretty strong top four in their rotation, but then they also have a strong bullpen, maybe they should go with an opener for the fifth starter. I mean, I really seriously consider that because they have a good bullpen. You get a guy like Lynn to maybe give you some length if needed out of that. And that saves you. I'm not sure that an opener is going to be an opener in some bullpen with the Yankees bullpen depth is really going to be worse than someone like Happ.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's talk a little bit more about the package the Yankees gave up for him. So we've already talked a little bit about Justice Sheffield, but just really quickly, just tell me, what's your take on Justice Sheffield? Is he a player that if you were the Yankees, you'd be looking to trade, or is he a player that you would prefer to hang on, they would have hung on to?
I'd prefer them to hang on to him only in the abstract, like if you can't get anything for him, but heck, if he's being treated as a number one type prospect, then by all means, I think you basically give him up right away. I think I just looked on MLB Pipeline. He's already rated the number one prospect in the Mariner system. I just don't get it, though. I just don't get it, though, because, okay, get this. He's the number one prospect. He's number 31 in all Major League Baseball, which is pretty high. That means basically if there are 30 teams in baseball. So if you're number 31, that means you'd be the number one or number two on virtually any team, okay? But get this, his description, his write-up says, I'm calling up again right now, says that he has, he has chances of becoming a number three starter, but he'll need to make further gains with his control and refine his changeup to reach that potential. So how are you one of the 30 best starters in baseball and the number one on either team you're on, the Yankees or the Mariners, if you need help with your control and your third pitch? Which are not minor things.
It's not like he's the high A. He is there. He is who he is now.
Right, and he's had bad control at AA and AAA, or these bad commands. So if your upper end potential is a number three starter, but you need a better third pitch and control, those are fairly big things to lack.
It's not like he's striking out 15 per nine, right? He's got good but not great strikeout rates in the majors, despite his really good stuff. Like, I am skeptical that he could make it up without a major change to his approach.
Yeah, he's still relatively young, but he's about to turn 23, and there are guys who are major league pitchers at 23 or clearly ready by 23. So look, you could have great stuff and low strikeout rates in the low minors when you're 19, 20, 21, and then it's just a matter of getting it together. And frankly, when they got Sheffield years ago, that's what they thought. He hasn't put it together and yielded the big strikeout numbers, and he needs work on control. But that's true of a lot of power arms in A. I just feel like, and I just firm this up, he was the number 31 prospect when the Yankees got him 2 years ago. I'd have to say his stock has to be lower since then, because if he still doesn't have a really consistent third pitch and his control isn't really good enough for the major leagues yet, and they're still saying his potential is number three starter, this doesn't sound like a top prospect. This sounds like a guy you're happy to have in your team, but, you know, it doesn't sound like a future star. It doesn't sound like, in other words, it sounds like he has very low chances of being as good as James Paxton right now.
Yeah, I agree. I want to move on and talk about the other player the Yankees gave up that I actually think they might miss more in a few years, and that is Eric Swanson. Eric Swanson was going to be my next little obsession, my next Josh Rogers. Except he might actually be better than Josh Rogers, and probably is better than Josh Rogers. Eric Swanson was an eighth round pick, you know, kind of one of these like weird like junior college picks that I think the Rangers made, and then the Yankees acquired him in some trade. I forget what trade they acquired him in, and he just put up an amazing year last year in the minors. 2.66 ERA, 121 innings, you know, great strikeout numbers, great walk numbers. He made it. He started in Double A, made it all the way up to Triple A. He's really good, and I think that he probably had like an outside shot of making the Yankees rotation at some point next year. Now he's going to have a very good shot at making the Seattle Mariners rotation, and I think is a very, very underrated part of this deal. I do not believe the Dominic Thompson-Williams breakout that occurred this year at 23 years old in Low A. So I will not be missing Dominic Thompson-Williams, but I will be missing Eric Swanson. What about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in that I'm low enough on Sheffield that if Sheffield has a chance of being a number three starter, if at age 23 he accomplishes things he hasn't accomplished yet with control in his third pitch, well, how different is that from Eric Swanson, who it says he could be a number four starter if he continues to refine his secondary pitches, which is not that far off, and he already has good control, better than Sheffield's. He doesn't have as much of a power arm, they say, but it says he sits at 92 to 94 with his fastball and touches 97. That's about what Sheffield does, last I saw. So I don't see a ton of difference between them, except that maybe I heard that Sheffield's fastball moves a little more, but hey, Swanson has, you know, half the walk rate. So I see them as pretty similar guys, but I'm not going to miss Swanson, despite that. I'll tell you why.
Lefty-righty is the big one, right?
Yeah, sure.
Lefty with the stuff versus righty with stuff. But
yeah, it's rarer, but you know, I'm not sure that makes him more likely to succeed, really. But with Swanson, okay, so he could be a number four starter. It says, though a big league role as a fastball-heavy reliever is more likely. So he has decent strikeout rates, but he's never going to be a real power arm that strikes out 10 per 9 in the majors. He could have a acceptable strikeout rate in the majors, decent control, but he's not a control artist. He has two pitches, but maybe three. You know, he sounds almost exactly like Adam Warren, which is to say he has a fastball that's solid. He can dial it up. It'll play better as a reliever. He has good enough control, but not great control. So there's no great skill that'll make him, you know, a number one or two starter ever. But he has a broad base of acceptable skills. But when you see number four starter or fastball heavy reliever with good, not great strikeout rates and good, not great control, it sounds exactly like Adam Warren, who, you know, he's freely available for nothing in this offseason. So, you know, that's to say that if Swanson's going to be either a back-end righty starter or solid but not elite righty reliever, those guys grow on trees. I mean, he's valuable. I would rather have him than not. I think he's closer to Sheffield than they appreciate, but he's not a guy, if he reaches his potential, you really say, man, remember when we could have had him.
All right, one last question because I've been traveling all day and I want to wrap this up. Is the Yankee farm system getting depleted?
Yup.
Really? My problem is I can't name more than like five guys who are any good. And I know that like everybody tells me that there's a million amazing guys at like high A and below, and the Yankees are the deepest farm system in baseball. But I'm a little bit concerned that the pipeline is mostly in the majors. And, you know, we've got a great young core, and so it's not a huge, you know, there's not a huge demand for new players coming in. But Justice Sheffield was one of the last few guys down the minors that really had a reputation for a potential major league star soon. And now I think we're kind of entering another phase of the Yankee minor league system where, you know, another set of guys are going to be arriving at Double A in the second half of 2019. And you know, that's when we'll start to learn who they are and they'll start to be hopefully notable, but they also just might not arrive and they might not be any good.
Yeah, I agree with you, it's depleted. And that's something I'm, you know, I don't know if I'd say worried about though, because looking at the Yankees lineup next year, I think literally every starter is going to be in his 20s. They're going to range from Gleyber Torres, the youngest, to a couple of guys who are 28 now, might be about to turn 29.
Aaron Hicks, the old guys?
Didi, Hicks, and Stanton are 28. Torres is 21, and then they have a bunch of 25 and 26-year-olds. So this is, and Andujar is 23. This is a Voit 27. This is a really young team. So, and Clint Frazier's 23 if he breaks in, if someone's injured. Gardner on 34, at 34 on the bench, is literally the only position player on the team who's in his 30s, even including backups. I think Romine might be about to turn 30, but, you know, so you have a farm system for two things. One is a pipeline for the next generation. Well, we're in win-now mode for the next 2 years or so. The other is if you worry about old guys breaking down, or a couple years ago the Yankees had this. This is like 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm worried about depth.
Well, but no, if you have... You have Tyler Wade at 23, and, you know, he could still be something. And you have – they're going to sign another infielder.
I'm worried about the starting rotation. You get a couple of injuries. Justice Sheffield was that – I was happy to have Justice Sheffield, Jonathan Loaisiga as my AAA depth. Eric Swanson was one of those guys. Josh Rogers was one of those guys. And I'm getting a little bit concerned that if there's a rash of injuries, the Yankees do not have a lot of talent to call up.
Well, what you're convincing me of is that they're deep in position players because everybody's under 30 and they have Clint Frazier on the bench, Tyler Wade on the bench.
And position players aren't as fragile, so you don't need as many.
Right, especially when nobody's 30 among your regular position players. So what you're convincing me of is as to the question of where should they spend the remaining money, basically spend it on someone like Machado or, go Corbin and Happ, which, Corbin and Happ combined maybe the same price as Machado annually. Machado have longer duration. You're convincing me maybe they need to sign two more starters, even if it's something like whichever of Corbin or Happ they can get, and then someone like a Lance Lynn as, a better sixth starter than most teams are going to have, just to keep in reserve, or Yusei Kikuchi if they get him. Start him out as a reliever, but keep him with some length so he can go into the rotation, something like that. Or Trevor Cahill had been a reliever in the past, starter last year. Unless he's intent on being a starter, maybe sign him as a long man or something. You don't normally spend 8 to 10 a year on a long man slash six starter, but maybe they should because they don't have AAA depth like you're noting. And they have some guys who are going to be old or brittle. Paxton's a little brittle. CC is old and, any moment could be his last year. Maybe they need six legit starters, whereas normally you'd say, hey, your six starters, whoever's a AAA this week.
And I just looked it up, and I was curious when Jordan Montgomery was due back. And he had his Tommy John surgery on June 5th of last year, which means we're probably talking September at best. He's a solution long-term, but not short-term.
Yeah, and they're now saying the recovery time was always optimistic when they said 12 months, so it's more like 14 months if you do it right. And also, a number of guys just, setting aside the 20% never come back is good. A number of guys just aren't as good for the first couple months they're back. Like the command's not really back in particular, even if the strength is. So the odds of him being a useful piece next year are really low, which is to say you're right. I mean, between Montgomery and Rogers and Sheffield and the falling stock of Chance Adams, I mean, they used to have about four guys at AAA they could call up as plausible starters, and now they're down to basically zero.
They had a AAA rotation so packed they had to keep people at AA extra long. I think Domingo Acevedo was just stuck down in AA.
The move I'd like to see, and I feel like I've been banging the drum for this for a long time, is that I just feel sad for Adam Warren at times because he never was a bad starter. He was a high threes, low fours ERA starter. The only reason he stopped being a starter is the Yankees had too many good starters and he wasn't quite good enough. But he can still give you length. He has three pitches. He hasn't gotten worse. I think he'd be a perfect guy who'd be super cheap and could be a long man, but then you could plop him into a starter role. I think there's no reason he's not capable of that and, would be a perfect fit for this.
All right, Scott, thank you for joining me. Everybody, we got a new starting pitcher. It's wonderful. He's going to throw 100 miles an hour from the left-handed side. I really shouldn't be complaining. Everybody have a great night. We'll be back if they make another trade before Thanksgiving. I hope not. Otherwise, we will see you in a week.
I have to interrupt because
– Please don't tell me breaking yesterday. News. Please don't do it.
They signed Zach Britton. No, I'm kidding. I'm just draft that we did yesterday of offseason moves. Derek is now officially winning 1-0
because I noticed that. Two, yeah,
it was trade for James Paxton. It was after the aggressive number one pick of trade for Chad Green, and it was ahead of his three picks for trade for Walker Buehler, Jose Ramirez, and Max Scherzer. But darn it, Derek didn't beat all of us so far, so he takes an early lead here.
I should have picked James Paxton with my first pick and not Patrick Corbin. All right. Scott, have a great night. Everybody, this has been your Emergency Bronx Beat podcast.